Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. If you missed any part of the show, including Momo, who was hanging out for an entire hour, talking some NBA with us, subscribe to the Sedano and LZ podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review. If you want to win $360, make sure you're tuning in tomorrow at 4:30. Our poor buddy Josh Gideon from Fullerton did not call back because here's the rules. We're giving away money.
Show me the money.
At 4:30, we're going to be calling out a name. You have 20 minutes to call back. If you don't call within those 20 minutes, it rolls over. It doubles up. So from 180, it goes to 360 tomorrow. If someone else doesn't call in tomorrow, it goes to 540. So here's the deal. The next 16 weekdays, we are going to be giving away cash. At the very least, $180. You can enter this contest by simply texting the word MISSION, M-I-S-S-I-O-N, to 40705. Text the word MISSION to 40705. Listen each and every weekday at 4:30 in the afternoon for a new name to be announced. So make sure you do it. I'm just saying.
Get money.
Real quick, before we talk about the Super Bowl, I found something today that I posted in the text chat for our show. And it was directed to Laura because Laura has told us, LZ, in the past that she is allergic to peanuts, right? And we talked about nut allergies a ton with her. And I found a thing on Twitter that says that peanuts are not actually nuts. They're legumes.
They're beans?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So Laura frantically went into the Google. Laura, what happened there when you got that text?
Okay, so when I got that text, I said, he has to be joking. But then I saw where you got it, and I was like, it couldn't be that. So I Googled it, and it's legit. They're not nuts. But I'm allergic to peanuts. So I'm like, what other things am I allergic to that I didn't know? And I'm like, I'm Mexican. I love beans. So I literally went down a rabbit hole on Google and like Wikipedia trying to see like did I need to go to an allergist doctor to get some sort of test because right. I've never had issues. And I'm like, well, that makes sense. I'm good with almonds. I'm good with pecans. I'm good with cashews. Like, I'm good with all of that except peanuts.
Right. Now, and I thought of it because I'm like, girl, you're Latina. Okay, we beans all day. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a problem. Like, you need to go back into your entire food history, basically.
Yeah, I'm good,
quite
man.
Quite problematic.
I'm good. I love beans. I love hummus. Okay, chickpeas are in that. Like, it literally said chickpeas. I was like, don't take my hummus away. Like, my beans and my hummus. Like, what? No. You know what I mean? But I'm good.
Have you ever got one of those allergy tests at the doctor where they prick you with a bunch of different things?
Yeah, on the back. They do like a bunch of, it sucks. But I'm only allergic to peanuts.
Okay. All right. We're just checking. I was looking out for you.
I appreciate that, you know, because people over here trying to feed me peanuts. I remember Raj, when he found out, he was like, do you want peanuts? I'm like, nah, bro. I'm good.
No shock.
That's attempted murder.
Yeah, attempted murder. Exactly. So anyway, for those that did not know, peanuts, not a nut. It is legitimately a legume.
So are they going to move it now?
To a different category? So you put it like in the bean aisle is what you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-mm.
You should. At your local Ralph's, right?
I mean, if you feel that strongly about it as an industry, you should go ahead and rep yourself.
Yeah. You could stand
put
out
tomatoes
more that
in
way.
The fruits.
Yeah.
Put the peanuts with the beans.
Yeah. Tomatoes are fruits, and you have that on pizza, so pineapple belongs on pizza. I'm just saying. Mind blown.
Go. Look at that. She just twisted this around. Back to that
just
conversation.
Just saying.
Speaking of getting twisted around, Patrick Mahomes could get twisted around a little bit, LZ. So the Kansas City Chiefs are the first team in NFL history that will play in the Super Bowl missing both their starting tackles that they had in week one. So we had Kirk Morrison on earlier today, and we asked Kirk who he liked in the Super Bowl, and he brought up something that you and I and the crew talked about in our show meeting when it came to those tackles missing and Tampa Bay's great rush defense, like they're pass rushers. So here's what Kirk said.
I'm going with age. I'm going with the experience. I'm going with the GOAT. I think the Kansas City Chiefs banged up. They won't have the two starting tackles that started the Super Bowl last year in Super Bowl 54. I think Jason Pierre-Paul Shaq Barrett are going to have a field day. I got the Buccaneers winning 31-27, and Tom Brady is your Super Bowl 55 MVP, winning his seventh championship, passing Michael Jordan. And, yeah, that's it.
So those two guys, Shaq Barrett and JPP, LZ, according to Next Gen Stats, average getting into the pocket area in 1.5 seconds. Now,
that's fast.
That is real damn fast. Now, Patrick Mahomes, his escapability is probably as good as we've seen, right? Historically, at least in the conversation, right? When you factor in, like, probably Michael Vick is probably number one if we had to go that route. But he's in that conversation, a very short list of people. How do you feel that could change the game coming up this Sunday?
I don't think it's going to be. I expect Sunday to be a shootout, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
I expect it to be a shootout. I expect both teams to, because, you know, the Buccaneers, they take serious shots downfield. Serious shot. But they have a quarterback who's also patient enough to bait the defense into sinking in so that they can take those shots. And then when you look at, you know, obviously KC, like they can get like 15 yards of play consistently all the way down the field. So when I look at these two teams and I go, okay, you have really good defenses if you're the Bucs. You have a sound enough defense if you're the Chiefs. But it's really your offense that really is going to be the star. And so I hear what you're saying, George, in terms of, you know, who's missing from the offensive line for the Chiefs. But I think at the end of the day, they're not going to be able to contain him. The best they can hope is to score with him. And I expect both teams to score over 30 points on Sunday.
Wow. See, I feel like this one – now, I don't think it's going to be as low scoring as last year with the Niners. You know, the Niners defense had that thing, you know, on lock for a minute until, you know, Patrick Mahomes did crazy Patrick Mahomes things, right?
Right.
In that fourth quarter. However, I do think that – I think it'll be higher scoring than that. But what did you say, 37-34? Is that what you said?
I said both teams would score over 30 points.
Oh, okay. I could see the winning team getting over 30, but I could see that. I've been, you know, I'm like 30-27 in that range, so I'm not that far off from you. And I want to see if Patrick Mahomes, you know, can take care of the ball against a ball hawking secondary that we've seen from that particular group. And the combination of that pass rush. Their linebackers are fantastic. They both can rush the passer, Tampa Bay, and certainly drop into coverage. Levante David, you know, is one of the best linebackers in all of the sport. I really feel like we're going to have a really fun chess match in that game.
I just feel like it's going to be a scoring fest where, you know, both teams realize that field goals aren't going to win it. And you may see a lot of fourth down calls, especially anything inside the 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just see both teams just putting up tons of numbers because, you know, KC can't do anything with Mike Evans.
Right.
And nobody can do anything with Travis Kelce or Reek. So
right.
I'm just thinking, you know, it's going to be a shootout. That's just kind of like what I'm sensing right now based upon the personnel of both squads, as well as their defenses, are good, but, you know, I wouldn't necessarily call them like the Ravens or the Bears either.
No, they're not that. They're not that. But I don't know if we'll ever. Do you think we'll ever get something like that again in this era of football with the rules skewed towards the offense the way they are?
I do believe that. We will see that again, but I don't think it's going to be a defense that's led by a personality like an Urlacher or a Ray Lewis or in our case, you know, Aaron Donald.
I think it's just going to be
a well-schemed defense with outstanding players that's just going to be hard to score against.
What
kind
do you
think? The way that the Rams offense is built, where there's no clear alpha dog on offense. It's just microaggression cuts. Like,
let me ask you a question, because
yep.
I know you do a great Ray Lewis impersonation, because I've been there when you've done it. How would Ray Lewis react to that question? Can I ask Ray Lewis that question?
Which question would it be?
Ray, do you believe that there will ever be another Ravens-style defense, considering the way the rules have changed in the NFL?
Is there another Buddha? Do you know of multiple Jesuses? Is there one Nile or are there two Niles? No, there will never be another defense as good as ours. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't try. It just means you should set your sights in a more rational place to be. It's okay to want to shoot for the sky. Just know you ain't going to get there.
You know where you nailed it? When you said hours, and then you went really fast when you talked after that.
I spent a lot of time watching him because I'm trying to figure out how was he the only black man in America who could be accused of murdering somebody and still sell like a drink?
You know what? It happened. It happened. Him and OJ, right?
But not even OJ. When OJ was accused,
OJ couldn't sell anything after that. Yes, you're right. He tried. He did try.
Ray came out and he was like making us drink Powerade. And I was like, how did this happen? Was it vitamin water? It was like, what are those drinks? And I was like, maybe we are post-racial. Because I didn't think he could make a comeback. But I looked
so
up
funny. And
next thing I know, was it vitamin water or was it Powerade? I think it was vitamin water.
I think it was vitamin water. And then he was working with us.
And then he was working with us. And then he wrote a book, and then we couldn't ask him any real questions.
Right. It was crazy. So funny.
Oh, man. That was great. Right. You know what? He's a battler, man.
He is.
He made it work. I need to find out which commercial it was because...
I'm going to look it up in the break.
I looked it up, and I was like, wait a minute. Is he selling stuff?
Well, Anthony Davis has been selling a lot of stuff since the championship. He's been in a lot of commercials, but his play has not been as strong as it has in previous years, LZ. We're going to tell you what's going on with AD in 3 minutes. We'll get back to Sedano and LZ in a second. 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh my gosh, LZ, play this song. Crank this up, Laura, for a second. So, first of all, I love this song by Digital Underground. Second of all, I was flipping on cable the other day, and what came up was one of my favorite documentaries, Tupac Resurrection, okay? And the part where Tupac talks about being part of the Digital Underground is tremendous, okay? Like, it really is, like, when you think about who he became, to think about, because people forget, like, this was a dude that could, you know, Juilliard type, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, he could sing, he could act, he could dance, he could do everything, and I mean dance, like a ballet dancer, and, you know, he was trained in all these different arts. But the Digital Underground part of it is just always been fascinating to me because of how different his style was after the fact.
Yeah, it almost feels as if he was doing Digital Underground just to get his foot in the door.
He did. That's what it was. Yep.
And once that happened, then he was like, okay, this is the real me.
Right.
Which is funny because I never felt as if Digital Underground was like trash.
No, they were fun.
Like it wasn't like the Real Housewives or some show or something like that.
No.
I felt they were legit. My cut was same song.
Same song.
Yeah, that was my ish.
Yeah.
But I never thought of them as clowns. You know, like, no. I didn't think they were like Young MC. I didn't think they were like, you know, one of those.
Right.
So it is interesting that he still saw them as a stepping stone to what he really wanted to do.
Yeah, it is pretty wild. But they were hot, man, for a minute back in those days.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it was a gimmick with the nose and everything.
Right.
But the flow was legit. The flow was legit. So I couldn't argue with it.
Yeah, pretty fun stuff. There is same song right there.
Oh, that bass line. Hey, you crank that up, girl. Crank that up. There we go. See, the young people, they don't know about this, George.
They don't.
They don't.
They don't.
This is back when music didn't require you to be little.
That is a good
You could be
point.
Big. You could be regular size. You didn't have to be little.
Yeah, that is an excellent point by you. So, LZ, speaking of big, AD and Jokic, the matchup tomorrow. It's crazy because we don't, you know, usually we talk about every matchup with LeBron, with LeBron in the particular discussion. And I'm not saying that we won't talk about LeBron in this discussion, but, you know, AD has had some challenges, right, with Jokic in the past. And Jokic is playing at an MVP level. Jokic is in really good shape for Jokic. And he's been carrying them. Remember, they started pretty slow. And he has put them on his back, and he has been MVP Jokic so far this season. Or, you know, he's at least in my top five at the moment. It's going to be an interesting battle for an Anthony Davis whose numbers are some of the worst that he's had in like 7 years.
Yeah, I'm not so much worried about the numbers as much as the matchup. And, you know, I said it during, you know, the free agency frenzy, and I've been saying it consistently ever since, and I'm going to say it again now. I don't believe the Lakers get past the Denver Nuggets as easily as we did in five games without Dwight Howard being able to lay some wood on Jokic for significant minutes. And seeing AD try to work with Jokic on the block and really just being overpowered for the most part. Like, Jokic is just a crafty and a big guy, broad shoulders, really, really strong, thick base, and crafty as hell. And he just seemed to be able to get whatever he wanted against AD whenever he wanted to. Now, AD had the same advantage on the other side, but that's not Laker basketball. You score, I score, you score, I score. Laker basketball is, we score, you don't. Mm-hmm. We score again, you still didn't.
Right.
You just scored a third time, now you got to call a timeout. That's Laker basketball. So it is going to be interesting to see how we manage this, because I don't think Marc Gasol can play more than 15 to 20 minutes a game, and Trez is too small. So it's going to be interesting to see how this matchup plays off, especially given how well Jokic is playing, to your point.
Man, it is going to be a fascinating dynamic because, you know, I feel like Jokic has taken a lot of heat over the years, right? Because he wasn't a capable defender. But would you say that he's graduated to at least a capable defender at this stage of his career?
I would say he's interested and he's active. I would never say Jokic gets so-and-so, so-and-so. Like,
No.
Say
but,
that.
But I don't think he's a pushover like he once was.
No, he's not. He's not. He tries.
Yeah.
He tries.
Right. And that's all you need from a guy that talented on offense.
Is to try.
Just be engaged.
Yeah, he's engaged, and he's long, and he's an excellent defensive rebounder. He's not a great offensive rebounder, but that has more to do with where he is on offense than his ability to actually rebound. But defensively, you know, he's something to deal with. He has blocked shots. He certainly can deter shots. No, he's legit. Like, the MVP candidates are him and Joel Embiid and obviously Bron. And, you know, I would even toss in, you know, like, you know, one of those Celtic guys, whether it's Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. Like, those are my MVP guys right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I don't think there's any question about it. Like, Michael Porter Jr., though, to me, is the key to their success, right? Like, I think if he balls out, they're good.
Yep. I would agree with you. He, first of all, his athleticism is bonkers. Dude got hops that are just like really, really like top five drafty sort of hops, like from an athletics point of view. And his shot, his stroke is so pure. He's got beautiful form. Mm-hmm. So when you have a guy like that who's young, who has great bounce, and who has like a fantastic pure stroke, he's going to be problematic for anyone. Compounded by the fact that, you know, at this point, he's either the third or second best player on the team.
Right.
So this is a franchise that's coming. That's coming for all the goodies we have. And when you really take a...
LZ, oh, we lost him. I thought maybe it was me for a second. Yeah, we lost LZ. Okay. Yeah, look, I just feel like when you look at this situation, man, with Denver, they're on the come up, and they, I think they got there faster than we needed to, or that they needed to, excuse me. And if I'm the Lakers, though, I'm not worried about them by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I'm not worried at all about that team because I still feel like they need one more piece. And maybe that piece is Michael Porter Jr. blowing up. Maybe it is adding Bradley Beal. But they are one move short, I think, at this point from being a real championship-type contender. All right, let's take a quick break. Coming up next, the Golden Globes are out. LZ and I are going to talk a little TV.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. So Lakers tomorrow. Don't forget that. Also, don't forget your chance to win $360. Got to listen at 4:30. We had a rollover today because we didn't get a call back. But how do you win that $360? Very simple. You got to register. And the way you register is texting the word MISSION, MISSION, to the number 40705. Text the word MISSION. 40705, and you have your shot at $360. And if somebody don't show up tomorrow, because here's the deal, you only get 20 minutes once you hear your name at 4:30. So basically at 4:30 we say the name, you got till 4:50, and at 4:50 we don't hear from you, it rolls over.
Good Lord, that's a lot of money.
Yep, it'll be 5:40 the next day. And that's how this works. So that's the deal. LZ, Golden Globes. Nominations are out.
Ugh.
What happened? What?
Oh, it's just so many questions. And I should not get caught up in the questions. You know, I should just be like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. You don't need this validation, blah, blah, blah. But for some reason, this year bothered me.
Right.
Why is that? Just bothered me. Starting with that Emily in Paris being nominated for multiple Golden Globes.
Okay. Well, I don't understand. Why? I didn't watch that show, so I don't know. What is the deal there?
It's not good.
Oh, okay.
It's not that good. It's not funny. Not interesting. I don't care what happens to her in Paris or New York. It just isn't good. I'm also trying to figure out how is Hamilton nominated for all these awards. It's like it wasn't cinema. They recorded a theatrical production. And yet it was nominated for, like, these cinematic awards. And I'm like going, this doesn't make any sense. Why isn't I Will Destroy You nominated? The Five Bloods from Spike Lee. Like, there's so much, George. There's so much.
Yeah, I'm good with – how about Ted Lasso? How much did Ted Lasso get?
Not enough. Mm. Not enough.
I love Sudeikis. Sudeikis.
It was nominated for Jason Sudeikis was nominated for Best Actor. The show itself was nominated, I think, for Best Comedy, but no supporting, no writing. I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like, I look at, did Bridgerton get nominated for anything?
It was after the...
After the cutoff? Because everybody's into that. What is it with these British shows that everybody loves? I have not watched an episode, okay?
It's actually really good.
It is?
I
what's so good about it, though? How good? Listen, man, how good could that show really be?
Good enough for me to watch the whole season in less than a week. Good enough for me to, after watching the show, I went and downloaded the soundtrack. It's pretty good, I think.
Wait. There's a soundtrack to Bridgerton?
Oh, it's dope, too.
Wait, what do you mean it's dope? Like, what are we talking? What's so dope about it?
Because what they've done is taken familiar songs of today and made them into classical music. So at first you're like going, wait a minute, why would they do that? But then you remember that the songs of that time period were essentially pop songs for them.
Right.
Those were their jams.
Yeah.
So, you know, she spun it forward so that a song like Thank You Next gets this classical music treatment. And so there's a sense of, oh, I know this. But the way that they kind of flipped it on his head with the string and the arrangement, you're like going, damn, that's dope.
Right.
No, it's really well done. And I don't know, you know, what people in that time period all looked like. I just know she didn't do anything but cast fine as MFs in this version of it. Like, ain't nobody ugly. She's like, this is a no ugly zone.
Yeah.
Everybody in this time period is going to be hot. They're going to be fit. There's going to be lots of nudity and sex.
Yeah.
And there's going to be stripped down music.
Laura, is there a TV show you're into right now?
Honestly, no. I mean, I watch Netflix, but I watch like Girlfriends, things that I used to watch when I was growing up, you know?
Damn, girl, you reminiscing?
Yeah, I was. I binge watched that. I'm like, oh, man.
You need to watch Ted Lasso.
Really?
Yep.
Okay, because the last time, what was the one that George gave me last time up? Parks and Rec. I fell asleep on the first, like, over. Y'all need to be quiet. Not your show.
Parks
Wait your
and
turn.
Rec is a good show. No, first season was a little iffy, but it was only 6 episodes or something like
that. No, yeah. So I ended up doing the second season, which was really good.
Yeah.
But I got into school, so I had to cut it. So I haven't actually finished it. So that's on my to-do list, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Greg, I would encourage you to watch Ted Lasso.
Okay, I got you.
Ted Lasso is a fantastic show. It's very, very underrated, and it should be nominated for a lot more things. I'm actually going backwards, and I'm rewatching Breaking Bad right now. So, and go watch all of Parks and Rec, Laura, please. It is a fantastic show.
I've never watched Breaking Bad.
Me neither.
Oh, it's so good. What, George?
Yay!
Oh,
you know
so
why?
Good.
It's very simple. The first 3 episodes were boring as hell, and that's my rule. If your show is boring as hell in 3 episodes, I ain't watching.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, which show is this?
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. How is that boring?
Those first 3 episodes. That first, everybody, listen, man. Those first 3 episodes were snoozers.
With a science teacher dying of cancer. How is that boring?
Snoozer.
That's sad. I've never watched it. I mean, that's just depressing. I don't want a depressing show now. I'm like, ugh.
Then watch Ted Lasso and get happy.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm talking about. I like Ted Lasso. I'm good. Anything Sudeikis, I'm rolling with. Like, I'm fantastic for that.
No, he's really good. And it actually is such a perfect series for where we are today. Like, I felt like the last season of Schitt's Creek and Ted Lasso back-to-back is exactly what this nation needed for this time period. Just, like, reminders of what's important, reminders to try to, like, be good and put good out in the world. Reminders to the love and to treat family and friends with respect and treasure them. Like, those two shows, I felt, out of all the categories, I felt as if, you know, the Golden Globes got those two shows right. Because it was like, we needed that as a nation after the year we just had in 2020.
Oh, look, Schitt's Creek is fantastic, dude. That is a great, great show. Like, I actually just started rewatching it.
Oh, just to?
Just why not?
Just why not?
Yeah.
Greg, did you finish watching Schitt's Creek?
Yeah, I did, and it really did. It was a really happy ending. I love how it ended. So, yeah, that was a great recommendation by you.
Well, endings are hard to nail on your shows. Well, but I think it's harder to nail a good ending on a TV show that goes longer. Like, you know, that lasts for longer?
Yeah.
It was like 8 seasons.
A shorter series. Like, Schitt's Creek was, what, 5 seasons?
Yeah, I think it was about 5 seasons.
Yeah, so it's easier to nail that, story. I think.
Perfect little story. Like, it wasn't like Modern Family, right? That just kept dragging on and on and on, and the son grew facial hair. You might go, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I love the show. I love the cast. I love the writing, all that stuff. All right, let's take a break. Scott Kaplan's coming up for a little crosstalk. He's going to be our new partner beginning on Monday, so we'll do a little crosstalk with Cap. Stick around. Sedano and LZ back in 2 minutes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, time for Crosstalk. Scott Kaplan will be joining us on Monday. Sedano, LZ, and Cap. Cap, what do you got going on tonight? What's going on in the house? Like, forget about the show. I want to know what is going on tonight. Like, what's been for dinner? Are you having the early bird tonight? Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, so I had kind of a weird night where I got home and I had to pick my daughter up. And I was like, you know, we need to eat something. And she's like, what do you want? And I'm like, I don't know why, but I just, like, want pizza. And she said, that sounds like fire. And so I went out and grabbed a little pie, a little pizza pie, you know, salad. And that's really not much going on here, George. Pretty quiet around here right now. My 14-year-old daughter's doing homework. My friend Jason Lawhead, who rides shotgun usually on Thursday nights, but he's here in the house tonight. And we're going to live stream. We're going to do radio. And as far as what's coming up on the show, I have absolutely zero idea what's coming up on tonight's show. Zippo.
That's the way I like it. Just kind of roll with it.
Yeah. It's one of those nights. That's what we like to do when Lawhead comes in. We turn it into a jam session where when you have a comedian who really knows sports and he starts talking and rolling, I don't know where things are going to go. And then we just throw it all out when Lawhead comes in. So that's really what we're doing tonight.
All
nice.
Right.
Hi, LZ.
Hey there, Cap.
What's going on, man?
You know, just plucking away. Pluck, pluck.
Yeah? What do you got going on tonight?
Well, let's see. I have a script to write for an ABC piece that I'm doing, and I have a LA Times column I just got edits back on that I need to clean up for tomorrow.
It's coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, so my work is just ramping up.
What time's your deadline tonight?
I don't really know. I don't pay attention to deadlines. That's a
there are no deadlines for LZ.
That's not a creative person's construct, deadlines.
Well, I guess I think of it in the old school way that you might have to have it in by a certain time so that it gets published for the morning paper, but I guess no one really cares, right? Like it's digital, isn't that the thing? I mean,
you know, my pieces still get printed in the paper form, but to your point, what comes out first is digital, which is a lot more flexible.
All right. So you're not under the gun tonight. You're not under pressure tonight.
Oh, I'm still under the gun. It just isn't that close to me.
I mean, there is a deadline-ish, right?
It's a suggestion of a time period.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That? Yeah. Can you tell us what it's about?
Sure. The piece is on criminal justice reform, and I am working on a piece that's asking Congress to pass a certain law.
Wow, man, you got a lot going on, dude.
I mean, those are real things. We're sitting here talking about Deshaun Watson and the Raiders most days, and then we don't realize LZ's actually got grown folk stuff to discuss.
Yeah, really.
That's grown folk stuff, too. That is grown folk stuff as well. Yeah. Grown folks do a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's deep stuff, though, you're dealing with. I'll tell you that right now.
You know, I love it, though. You know, watching C-SPAN, digging through old, like, bills from Congress, watching documentaries. Like, I would do that anyway, so it's nice to be paid for it.
Now, I don't watch C-SPAN regularly, but I do watch John Oliver all the time. And obviously, he spends a lot of time watching C-SPAN, or his production staff does. Yeah. And they do such a great job of going through that. You know, they do that like talk show style show where people are literally calling in. Like the type of craziness, like if you think like sports talk radio callers are wacky and crazy and say all sorts of insane stuff, if you go watch, you can just pull it up on YouTube from John Oliver's show and just see the versions that they cut up, and now they splice all this stuff together with the magic of production. But it really is – normally you'd think, C-SPAN, snoozer, boring. That one show, I forget the name of the host, but that one show that he always highlights, just the type of calls he gets are just insane.
No, it's quite remarkable because you're like sitting there and you go, huh, did you think this through before dialing, or did you just kind of, you know, flying by the seat of your pants?
Yeah, I can't say I put much time in with C-SPAN.
Well, it's
I mean, I don't blame you, to be honest. Let's be real. It's not like it's not like getting the record ratings. You know what I'm saying? Like it's okay. You know,
I'm a wonk. You know, and I like that. I like the debates and the conversations and interviews and stuff like that because I'm a big believer in remembering the history. That's what the role of journalism is. We're supposed to be documenting our day so that tomorrow knows what happened yesterday.
Oh man, I could never be a journalist either.
Too many details, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, like, you have to be right about stuff. You can't just say stuff, you know? It's easier being on radio.
You could. Oh, man, I just found out some great news.
Tell
What's
us.
That?
Richard Marx has a memoir coming out in July. I was the biggest Richard Marx fan growing up.
Richard Marx, first of all, great hair. I wonder great if he hair. Does he still have the great hair?
Insane
you think?
Hair. That it was such
has,
great video
He still has great
hair.
It's just shorter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so hairsprayed. You know what I mean? It was like.
Very 90s.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And such a good musician. Could play the piano, right? Like had so many different talents.
Amazing songwriter. You know, strong singer. To your point, can play all the different instruments. Just a real like musician, you know, like just a badass musician. So his song Don't Mean Nothing, I repeat a line from that song at least once a week. At least once a week for like the last, you know, what is it, 20 some years, 25 years, whatever that song was released. And the line is, it don't mean nothing till they sign it on the dotted line. And when the first song came out, I was like, just singing it and not really thinking about the implications. But obviously in this industry, you realize they're going, oh, bruh was dropping some pearls right there. he was giving you a heads up, you know?
Where does he rank on, like, the ballad list? Like, because that was an era, you know, the 70s, 80s, and 90s were just a fantastic era of, like, ballads from solo artists to R&B artists, to rock and roll artists, right? Like there were so many different genres that were all doing ballads. And it really was, it didn't matter what the background of the music was or the genre. Like everybody was just doling out ballads back
yeah.
then.
Yeah, even hair bands. Like hair bands would come up with ballads.
Oh, yeah.
You yeah. know?
Like
power ballads is what they were called.
Correct. Yeah. Power yeah. ballads.
That I love power like ballads. I love like Sister Christian, you know? Like that's a power ballad to me. You guys know that song?
Yeah,
Sister
Warrant,
Christian?
Heaven from Warrant. Yeah.
Mm. Heaven.
I was listening last night, some Journey came on, and I was like, listen to how Steve Perry he's so good and he could make like a hard rock band or like a good rock and roll band. He could make them, you know, have like a really sappy ballad. He was so good, Steve yeah. Perry.
Peter Cetera, also the king Peter of the Cetera. 80s ballad, I feel like.
Really yeah, Chicago. Good ballad. Yeah, my yeah, favorite good ballad, section. Power ballad from that era to this day is Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi.
Oh my God.
Ooh, that's
favorites.
A good one. That
one
is a good one.
Yeah.
That is my ish. I think is written fantastically. I love the analogies. And every now and then when I'm on the airplane and I got to finish something on a pseudo deadline, and I'm typing away, I tell myself, I'm a cowboy.
Yeah, sometimes I
on
sleep.
On a steel horse I ride.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's exactly, yeah, I don't even know if that's their best ballad. Like, Bon Jovi also had Never Say Goodbye, which was an excellent
great
ballad.
Song. Yeah. Love great Never song. Say Goodbye.
Yeah. I mean, you can go, Def Leppard had Love Bites, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't love Def Leppard.
I wouldn't put that in this category.
Yeah. How can you not like a band that had a one-armed drummer?
I like the one-armed drummer. I like that.
One-armed drummer.
It was very revolutionary, you know? I mean, they
but
made the best
the
of
chorus.
What they got. Yeah, here it is right here.
Here we go.
Sometimes I stop for days. Yeah. The people I meet.
Like, this is a journalist song as far as I'm concerned. Like, if you cover politics or you're a beat writer for a sports team, you totally identify with these lyrics.
November Rain. Where does that one rank on the ballad list?
November Rain. Actually, I got Patience actually above November Rain.
Patience really? November Rain, the video, the music video for November Rain better. Was incredible.
Yeah, the video is way better. I just thought the idea that I'm just going to start this song off whistling and make you listen to me whistle for like 20 minutes before I start singing, it's just like superstar badass moment.
Yeah. Oh, wait, how did I miss this one? Like, I was just thinking about this. How about Every Rose Has Its Thorn?
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah. It's really good. Like, that's like a top 5 or 10 ballad all time for
sure. I'll throw this one at you. You ready for this?
Go ahead.
Motley Crue.
Ooh.
Motley
Crue. Home Sweet
Home. Home Sweet Home.
Home Sweet Home.
Yeah. Yeah. REO Speedwagon, what was the name of that song? Can't Fight This Feeling, right?
Can't Fight This Feeling. Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, there we go. Come on.
Sad, yeah, it's good.
This was like 10-year-old me, I think, or 11-year-old me into
What about
song.
Tesla's Signs? You guys remember that song?
Ooh, is that, the Signs a ballad? The Signs think, get qualified as a ballad?
I think that's more mid-tempo now that you bring it up, yeah.
Signs everywhere, a sign.
Yeah.
Do you consider Marvin Gaye, Let's Get It On, as a ballad?
Let's Get It On?
Yeah.
Now, see, that's a different genre altogether.
Yeah, right.
That's baby-making music.
That is baby-making music.
Yeah. We were in power ballads, and then we moved over into, like, pop rock ballads, and now you're in straight-up repopulating the earth ballads.
Right, but you got to repopulate the earth.
Yeah, this works even when you're not trying to repopulate the earth. You're just practicing.
Yeah. Well,
I'm always trying to repopulate the earth, and I'm gay, which is extra work.
Yeah, I'm straight and I'm shooting blanks. How about that?
Uh-oh.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get the surgery?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, after the fourth kid, obviously.
Right, yeah.
After the fourth one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Decided to put the gun away?
Yeah.
Put it back in the holster, cowboy.
And now we've gone full circle. We're right back to Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi.
There you go.
And that is your show, people.
Yeah. There it is. That'll be what you get on Monday. So Cap.
Yes, sir.
Are we talking to you again this week? Because I don't even know the damn schedule anymore.
I've kind of given up on the schedule around here.
Oh, so we got Friday to talk Super Bowl with you. All right, so let's do this. Yeah. Let's talk a little deportes here. Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
The Raiders stuff that's out there.
Yep.
Why would he even want to play for the Raiders?
Why would Deshaun Watson want to play for the Raiders?
Would you if you were him?
Well, it starts off with how badly does he want out of Houston? Because when the new coach got to Houston, he stood up at a press conference and went, yeah, the reason I took this job is because Deshaun Watson's our quarterback. And everybody's like, yeah, but dude, have you not been hearing what he's been saying? He's not been bashful. And he's like, yeah, I know. But the thing is, that's why I took the job. And we're like, okay. And then I love it that he's formally requested a trade. Because saying it out loud in public apparently wasn't formal. Yeah, you have to send it in an email to make a formality. And so if you're Deshaun Watson and you desperately want out of Houston and you look at the Raiders and you say, okay, new market, new stadium, entertainment type capital, Gruden's a character. I mean, why not? I mean, if you want out of Houston, what's I think the Raiders are a better opportunity.
Yeah, listen. That organization is trash.
The Raiders?
No. I mean, John Gruden has a lot to be desired, but the Houston Texans are trash.
Agreed.
That's an organization.
Agreed.
And, you know, they have done some things that some consider to be racist. They have certainly done some things to Deshaun that many consider to be, you know, not considerate of your franchise QB in terms of, like, getting input the way you promised you would. And I feel bad for the new coach who just finally got a shot to be a head coach thinking that that guy was going to be his QB. But I don't think Deshaun needs to worry about that. He needs to worry about himself. He needs to make sure his agent stays on top of it, that you don't get lulled into sleep and then end up playing for a franchise you don't want to play for and end up spending the entire season just being bitter. So I want the coach, the new coach in Houston, to do well, but he ain't going to do it with Deshaun. Deshaun's got to bounce. I don't give a damn what Brett Favre, hypocritical ass, got to say. Deshaun's got to go.
What Brett Favre say?
Man, that trash
he said
dude.
That we can make too much money, that you got to here's the quote. You get paid a ton of money to do a certain job. Just do it. Let the chips fall where they may. I think we make too much money to voice an opinion, but I'm not saying he's wrong. Again, I think it's a different day and time. It'll be interesting to see how the organization handles it.
Oh, wow. Wow. Somebody got Brett Favre off the tractor, and like he took off his sports sleeve that he was wearing while he was rocking his tractor, and he took the like blade of grass
Copperfit,
out of,
right?
out of
what
his
that
mouth.
Thing is called, right?
Yeah, Copperfit. Took the blade of grass out of his mouth, and they're like, hey, Brett, what do you think about Deshaun Watson? He's like, man, I'm telling you, they make too much money, these guys today, to have an opinion. Me, back in my day, I just showed up and played every day. I mean, really? Who got Brett Favre? Who found Brett Favre?
But it wasn't true.
It was Yahoo Sports.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
But it was never true. The way that Brett Favre did Green Bay on the way out.
Right.
The way he did the Jets on the way out.
Yep.
And now he's going to sit up here and talk about what? Standing up and honoring your contract. And all. Man, sit down and shut up. The next time someone comes to you for an interview, you should ask them, is it about my sleeve or my jeans? Because I shouldn't be talking about any more NFL right now.
Right. Listen to me. If you want to talk about Wranglers, I'm your guy. You want to talk about this sleeve right here? I'm the right guy to talk to. You want to talk about riding on a tractor and cutting the lawn all day long? I'm your guy.
No, he's just been straight trash for like a while. And I don't know why we keep going to him for insight, because it's one thing if someone says something that's controversial and people don't agree with, but it's their honest belief based upon their experiences and blah, 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 blah. That's fine and dandy. But if you do all that while also contradicting every single thing you've done in your life, I'm going to tune you out. Because now you're just playing, you know, to use the phrase, Monday morning quarterback, and anyone can do that.
Right.
I'm coming to you to give me some fresh takes, not to rehash your history.
Yeah. Yeah. Cap.
Yes, sir.
What do you got coming up in the future? Forget about history. What do you got coming up tonight?
I have no idea.
You got the comedian guy. Pump him up one more time.
Dude, my man Jason Lawhead is coming in here. You two guys would love this guy, and here's why. Because I think he's one of the smartest basketball talkers that you've ever heard.
Okay.
And so he's a really smart basketball talker. He's got opinions about everything going on in sports. He's a stand-up comedian. He's going to be in Vegas all weekend playing at the Tropicana at the Laugh Factory, because they actually are going to put crowds in a comedy club in Las Vegas for Super Bowl weekend. And so I throw it all out when Lawhead comes in, and who knows what's going to happen tonight.
All right. I love it. That's what I want to hear. We're going to tune in to make sure we find out what the hell happens. Cap, we'll talk to you on Friday,
okay.
And then we will absolutely be talking to you every day beginning on Monday. Have a great show tonight.
To all right, man. Have a good night, guys.
All right, man. Be good. Cap's coming up next. LZ, excellent work as always.
You too, brother.
Great job, Laura and Greg. Thanks to all our guests today, Kirk Morrison, Ryan Smith, and, of course, Mama Momo. Cap Show is up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Short show tomorrow. We're leading right into the Lakers game. Sedano and LZ, 710 ESPN.